Well, it's good to be here with you guys. I've been looking forward to it for a while. A couple more things about the reservation. I'll take some questions and things. First of all, about the martial arts, there's two types of martial arts a person can take. The type that's a religion, and the type that's just what the hands and feet can do if sent the right direction and put in the right places. Kind of like what they teach them in the service. That's the kind that I'll be teaching. That's the kind that I took. It has nothing to do with Eastern mysticism or Eastern religion at all. Just wanted to clarify that. The Hopis worship in a place that's called a kiva. It's located directly underground. There's a ladder that comes into it, which represents two worlds from which the Hopis believe they've already been. And there's a ladder that comes out of it, which represents the fourth world in which they wish to go. In the first two worlds, one, the Hopis believe they were led by a pillar of fire. And the other one, the Hopis believe was destroyed by a flood. Does that remind you of anything? In the third world, where the Hopis are at right now, they believe if they're good enough or if they're pure enough, that's in that room where they do their ceremonies at, that they get to climb up that last ladder and climb out into the fourth world, which is the happy hunting ground. The Hopis get buried sitting up facing the Grand Canyon, believing that if they were pure enough or if they were good enough when they died, their soul will get up out of their seat and walk to the Grand Canyon, and that's where they'll get to spend eternity when they die. But there's a problem with that. Hopis also believe in spirit beings, which are called Kachinas. These Kachinas live in the San Francisco Mountains, and they believe a long time ago, the San Francisco Mountains are the resort mountains around Flagstaff, Arizona. But they believe a long time ago, these Kachinas used to come down out of the mountains, used to come to the reservation, and used to teach them government and agriculture and things like that, how to live. But they believe that since they're not pure enough or since they're not good enough anymore, the Kachinas don't come down and teach them, so they have to play the Kachinas. Where you get the ceremonies at and the dances and they have the big headdresses and all those things, they're calling out to the spirits and they're playing the spirits. It's not just some little innocent activity they're doing because they don't believe they're pure enough for the spirit world to come to them. Sounds like a catch-22, don't you think? They believe if they're pure enough, they get to go to the spirit world when they die, but they don't believe they're pure enough or good enough right now to be able to go to the spirit, for the spirit world to be able to come to them. As everybody in here knows, there's only two religions in the world. There's works. I can purify myself. I can be good. I can ascend to the next plane. I can. Or there's the blood of Jesus Christ. The Hopi Indian Reservation, there's 12,000 people on a 70-mile by 70-mile piece of land. Not one independent Baptist or solid fundamental church of any kind on the whole reservation. There is over 500 Indian reservations in America. There are said to be over 200 Indian reservations across the Americas without one gospel preacher, period, on any of those reservations. Groups of thousands and thousands of people. I have friends trying to get on the Zuni reservation right now, which is just in New Mexico. 12,000 people. I don't believe one church on there, period. And they're trying to get on. They've been trying to get on for a year. They've just been able to preach in the prisons. Give you a little bit of idea what the reservations are like. Anybody have any questions at all? Anybody have any questions about the reservation? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They say one of every four cars on the reservation, the driver is either drunk or drinking. In most reservations, alcohol is huge. Drugs is huge. Promiscuity is huge. There's lots of fatherless kids running around. Very little family structure at all. As a matter of fact, when a baby's born, a lot of times it's left with grandma because it's a matriarchal society. The father has very little, authority, but very little, whatever. And the woman, it becomes her job, and she leaves it with grandma so that they can go out and do whatever with anybody else again. The latest things on there in the past 6 months is meth labs. And there's been a tremendous amount of heightened domestic violence and things going on there because of the meth labs that have just sprung up out there in the last 6 months. The situation that's been opened up for me by another missionary out there has been called unprecedented. The other missionaries on the Navajo Indian Reservation. Again, I'm in the middle of the Navajo Indian Reservation on the Hopi Reservation. That man, Kenny Quinipua, he ended up marrying a Navajo girl. That Navajo girl's dad happens to be a national pastor out there by the name of Harold Noble. Harold Noble's about an hour and a half away from me. He is tremendously respected on the Navajo Indian Reservation, and he has a lot of say. He's just, I mean, the whole nine yards. He used to be a peyote priest or being groomed to be a peyote priest, which is their witch doctors or medicine man, however you want to call it. and he was into all that, but then he got saved anyways. He's a very prominent man on the reservation. He married his daughter. He led this gentleman to Christ, Kenny Quinimtua. He's been saved, and he's solid. He has all his doctrine. Everything's correct, and he's emphatic about it, which is a blessing. As a matter of fact, he's been praying for a church out there for years, and I was introduced to him by a man by the name of Mark Haynes, who's a missionary on the Navajo Indian Reservation as well. And he said, since I was most like him, and Mr. Noble, he allowed me to start a church in his house. He's given us half of his house, since all his kids are pretty much grown and out or whatever. He's given us half of his house. We've gone in and knocked down all the walls except for one wall, which will be my bedroom and my study area. We're going to build bathrooms on the back of it, and we're going to put kitchens just inside the church on the back of my wall, and that'll make about a 24 by 24 foot auditorium, which we can sit about 50 to 52 of those individual pew chairs in there so that we can move those later on. Again, originally you talked about martial arts. You saw that in the slides. A reservation is a nation unto itself. It has its own laws. It has its own government. Most of the pictures that you've seen were cut and copied out of newspapers off the internet. They were scanned out of books. I said, I'd say this, it's against the law to take pictures on the reservation. They can kick you off the reservation, throw you in jail, whatever, for taking pictures on the reservation. It's specifically posted, and it's against the law. And why I say that, they have their own laws, they have their own government and things like that. So as in another country, if a missionary was to go out there, you need to do something for the tribe to be out there. In another country, you become a medical missionary, you go out there and you work medical. They have their own hospital out there, you would work in that. You would teach English. Granted, they don't need English teachers, but there is teaching positions, I'm sure, open out there. But since I can do neither of those and I'm a black belt, we were opting for martial arts. I would trade off teaching martial arts in order to be able to live on the reservation. With the Hopi Reservation 70 miles by 70 miles, and then in the middle of the Navajo Reservation, you get quite out there a ways before you can actually get government land where you could actually buy a house, and that would be a huge commute. But with this man, Kenny Quinimtua, letting us be right in his own house, I don't have to go through the government. I don't have to ask them permission. I don't have to trade off doing the martial arts. Now, I'll probably do that because it'd be a good way to get to know kids and get to know families, because everybody's very much at arm's length out there. And so it'd be a good way to get into homes. But being inside that gentleman's house, the tribe can't kick me off if they get mad at me. A lot of times what also happens on reservations, it's happened several times on the Navajo reservation, is they say, okay, come on out here, missionary. Let the missionary come out there, build a $100,000 church building with all the amenities. And next thing you know, they say, thank you, goodbye. Nobody can do anything about it. If somebody on the tribe gets mad at them, they can kick them off. But being as I'm in Kenny's house, they can't say anything about it. And so it's a tremendous open door. And they said also that Hopi is a whole lot harder than a lot of other tribes to be able to get on as well. And I'm right there in the middle of the reservation already. If you would be praying about the rest of that building project, the last 2 weeks of May, I was talking to Pastor about this. There's going to be work crews coming out there from other churches, just whoever wanted to come. And we're going to finish that up so that we can start services in June. I'm at the end of deputation. Anybody else have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been out on
that reservation? I have not. Just visited there and, again, getting things prepared to be out there and done a little work on the building. But I haven't been out there for any period of time yet as far as starting things. The Hopi Reservation is very much agriculture. They grow their own corn. There's community lots. There's family lots. There's personal lots. So as soon as I get on the reservation, I'm going to learn to be a corn farmer. I'm sure that's not new to a lot of people around here. They do their corn very much amazingly. People come from all over the world to see how they farm. It's called dry farming. It basically is what they do is they plant the seeds in the desert, go back up on the mesas and do their rain dance, and they get corn stalks. Pretty big. So big that people literally come from Asia and all over the world to study how they farm and how things go on out there. Yes, sir? You have a question? Okay, sorry. If you come up with one, let me know, all right? I'm trying to think some other things about the reservation is Well, they're pretty self-sufficient that. Again, they grow their own sheep and butcher it. A lot of cattle is butchered right out there. When I was out there, I was actually with Harold Noble for a day. He donated a steer to, they were going to have a party there. They were going to have a get-together, and we went to where the steer was being butchered, and it was all skinned and laying open on the ground, and the skin was salted, and the rest of the body was eighth and sitting in pieces inside their chapter house, which is their little government house. The ladies were cleaning out things in a bowl of blood on the table in case you were... And so a lady wanted me to help her put the skin back of her SUV, so we rolled up the skin and put it in the back of her SUV. And a few hours later, they had a big pit dug in the ground. They were warming it up because they were going to cook the meat in there all night long. They built a little bit of, they built a little fire and cooked up the back strap, and they made homemade tortillas and handed you to the salt shaker, and that was the freshest meat I've ever had in my life, probably. And so it would be an interesting story for pastor, I'm sure. As most preachers do when they see a used bookstore and they have a couple hundred bucks in their pocket, because they're not going to walk out of there without spending a couple hundred bucks. They're going to go in there and they're going to look around and try to get some old books and stuff for cheap. And as I was in this one old bookstore, there was a book called The Golden Bough. It said The History of Magic in Religion. Like, what in the world is this doing here? So as any curious person does, he gets it out and starts reading through the index. Started reading through the index. He started talking about the Indians and their corn god this and the Indians and their corn god that. I started saying, So I bought it for like $5 or whatever it was and brought it home and read those chapters. And come to find out, the corn god is a man by the name of Osiris. Osiris, in another language, is a man by the name of Tammuz. Tammuz, obviously in Ezekiel's chapter 7 through 9, where God rips out the hole in the wall and shows Ezekiel and says he hates the women that are weeping for Tammuz. He goes through the whole story, how he died, the women wept over him. He supposedly got reincarnated. When he was reincarnated, he became God of the underworld. So Osiris, Tammuz, Nimrod, the whole mother-son worship, which you know where it all comes from. Anyways, all that, he's the God of the underworld. It talked about all the corn offerings and everything, and how you guys, I wouldn't blame you, but some of the pictures there was a lady about to get married. She had the corn powder on her face. Corn is involved in almost every ceremony. A whole corn is given to the baby and things like that. So, anybody else have any other questions? Yes, sir. I don't know. I know a long time ago, as far as inside the kiva, women weren't allowed in there. If there was a woman in there, a guy played. Is there a woman in what was going on? A guy played the lady because women weren't allowed into the kiva. But that's the only thing that I know of. As far as the dances and stuff, I don't know if there's any restrictions or what. I know that if you're a tourist out there, you won't get in out there. The Hopi are very, very standoffish, even of tourists and everything else. And you have to be a very special person if they're going to let you watch their dances, and you won't get in the kiva. You won't be able to go down in the kiva and check it out and say, ooh, oh, nice. You won't be allowed to. It's just, yes, sir. That's a good question. There is schools there. As far as I know, they're just like the public schools here. Chances are we'll just have to go talk. I ran into a lady who appears to be a Christian lady. We've chatted a little bit by email, and her husband moved out there to help out in the schools for a year or 2 years. One of the years is already up. The next year will be beginning, or will be up this year. The next year will be beginning just when we're starting services out there and stuff. And so, matter of fact, we have a VBS that we're going to be doing. There's already a church coming out to do a VBS. We should be starting services in June. They're coming out in July. Hopefully, if things work out, I might be able to use her to be able to either get in the school, use the basketball courts, or at least kid contacts and things like that. So there might be an open door there, but that is one of the possibilities. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the land area there, are there many cities and villages, or one main city?
There's many villages. The Hopis live really close together. So, I mean, there's three or four villages, but they run into each other. The mesas are the main thing. First mesa, second mesa, third mesa. There's three or four villages on top of each mesa. Again, they live really close together. You saw them sitting up on top around the dances. You can just knock on door after door after door. And they have the old housing there, too, the stone and adobe housing. But there's some down below the mesas as well, some villages down there. But even though it's 4,900 square miles, 70 by 70, a lot of them are real close together, and a lot of the rest is just open land or farmland for the corn. Yes, sir?
Do they have modern trainings out there?
It's like this. Some of them are so traditional, they want to keep it just like the forefathers have already had it. So they refuse to use machines in their farming. They hold the whole thing by hand. They refuse to have running water. They refuse to have electricity. There's certain villages, just certain villages on the reservation, where you're not even allowed to drive your car on the reservation because they want to keep it just like it's always been. And then there's half of the reservation that doesn't mind, and there's electricity, there's running water, there's everything. And so it's just kind of a... That's the battle out there. It's even between the young and the old. It's we want to keep it just like the ancestors, the younger. We want the new things. And so there's always a 50-50. You're not going to get in. Where I'm at, there's no electricity coming to me. Everything we have is going to be solar electricity. The Lord's already provided a whole solar system as far as panels, batteries, converter, wires, whole nine yards. We're going to hook up out there because we're not going to have any electricity, but we'll have running water. We'll have propane appliances, propane stove, propane refrigerator, and a wood and coal stove for heat. There's a lot of bitterness there between some of them, but amazingly enough, there's still a lot of intermarrying and things like that, as you saw with Kenny and the other girl. But there is a lot of bitterness, and there can be problems there because the Hopis still want their supposed holy sites that are still on Navajo land from when the Navajos took it over years ago. So, yes, ma'am?
Do you have to speak English all the time?
Some of the people do speak their native language, but it's pretty much the elderly. Their language is pretty much dead. They're just now trying to put it in curriculum and introduce it to the kids and things like that. So there is no language barrier out there for me. I just have to speak English. Plus, Kenny knows the language, so I can pick up the language from him as we go along. Again, since they're now just starting to try to put it into curriculum, it's not like you can go to college and take Hopi. You can go to college and take Navajo, especially in Arizona and things like that. And so I'll have to learn it from him. The Hopis have a legend about twins, a boy and a girl. Their family or their village was about to get raided, so everybody took off. Well, the mother and father thought that the kids had taken off with the rest of the village, so they took off too while the boy and the girl were in hiding. So anyways, the pillagers came and they ransacked the place. The boy and girl stayed in hiding. They didn't find them, and after a couple of days, the boy and girl come out and started scavenging around from what they could find and live off of what water they could find and what food they could find. And after a while of doing that, the boy sees a deer. Like a good Indian boy, he grabs his bow and his arrow, and he shoots the deer, and his shot hits true, and the deer falls to the ground bleeding to death. So he pulls out his stone knife, and he runs over to the deer. He's about to cut the deer, and the deer starts talking to him. He says, I know your family's far ahead of you, but I came for you. What I want you to do is I want you to cut off my skin, and I want you to use it for clothing. I want you to cut off my hind parts, and I want you to use it for food. I want you to take my back leg and make it into an awl and hang it around your neck. And I want you to do this, and in the nighttime I'll come, and I'll carry you closer and closer to your people. And I want you to do all of this without breaking any of my bones. Does that remind you of anything? Those of you guys that read the Bible, you know that God says in the Bible that he'll give us hinds feet or deer's feet to be able to climb over our problems, get over our problems. You know, skin, the clothing. The Bible says that those that accept him as Savior, he'll clothe them in righteousness, in salvation. The meat, Jesus is the bread of life. And if you guys that have been Christians for any period of time know that in the dark seasons and in the nighttime, you can feel the arms of God around you carrying you till one of these days you reach the great cloud of witnesses which is waiting for us above. Boy and girl, Adam and Eve, I don't know. It's just kind of amazing. Of course, Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, there was not a bone of his broken. That's kind of an amazing claim for a deer to make, that sacrificing himself for a couple of kids. Jeremiah chapter 18, these are the verses we're using for the reservation, for the ministry. Anybody else have another question or two? We still have a few more minutes. Yes, ma'am. There's 6,000 feet elevation out there on top of the mesas. So believe it or not, there's always a wind blowing. This winter, they've already had a foot of snow on top of it. As a matter of fact, there's a leak in our roof out there, and Kenny said he had to get up on the roof and shovel the snow off because it was bringing down some extra drywall that was on the ceiling there that was inside the church. It doesn't get much above 85 from what I understand in the summer because there's always a wind blowing. They're sandwiched in between, obviously, Durango, Colorado up there and Flagstaff, Arizona, which is the resort ski mountains that are out there. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 through 9. It says, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it." It is our desire for the Hopi nation that they'll turn to God, and that God will build them and plant them, but not only as a nation, but as families and as individuals as well. Pastor.